Good morning. I did get it the right way. And welcome to our service of worship this morning. And a special welcome to those who may be visiting with us either here in the sanctuary or those who join us online. It is a pleasure to have you joining with us in worship. This morning is Christian Family Sunday, and we celebrate the family of God that helps us nurture in faith. Out on Main Street, it is Mother's Day, and so we extend good wishes to all mothers this morning as we come into God's presence for worship. It's been a busy week here at, busy 3 days here at St. John's as we had the organ concert on Friday evening. And if you were not here, you missed a wonderful event planned for next year. It's always an extra special evening when we have the guest artists in playing the organ. So the McGaughey concert was Friday night. Yesterday was the wedding of Joel and Price and Victoria Cottenham, and we wish them all the best as they embark on their life together. And looking forward to next weekend, we have the wedding of Emily King and Jack Connor, and so we look forward to that event this coming Saturday at 2 p.m. It's 2:30. And maybe at this time, Michelle would like to say a few words about the organ.
No, I'm not on. Oh, now I am. I just wanted to take this opportunity to thank all of the people who were involved in making the organ concert a success. So from the planners, which is the Worship and Music Committee, Reverend Adams, myself, Dan, and Alex, those who helped dismantle the front to arrange for the concert. So that's Trish and Chuck, Kep, Alex, Dan, and Reverend Adams, for those who made the refreshments, that would be Dan and Alex, for Brenda, who helped with the dismantling and the bulletins and ran the elevator, Carol and Wes, who were ushers, and of course, everyone who attended. It was much appreciated, and hope to see more people from our congregation next year attending this event. Thanks.
And because there was a wedding Saturday, everybody who put things back in place Friday night as well, because normally we have the luxury of time after the organ recital, and so the walls may not all get up again before Sunday morning, but with a wedding being here yesterday afternoon, everything had to be back and in ship shape by the time we all left the building on Friday night. And so thank you to everybody who got it back to where it normally all stands. Session is reminded of their meeting this coming Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. And some information for that meeting has already gone out, but more will be going out in the coming day or so. And just an announcement for the congregation. If you call into the church this week, you will notice that there's a new voice answering the phones, and we welcome Rob Beaton as our new administrative assistant. As time goes by, you will meet Rob and get to know him a little bit better. And just a reminder, we are test driving our new presentation software with a view toward making a change. So for the month of April, we used one software package that you probably didn't notice was any different than what we were using before. And hopefully, if everything works well, during the month of May, we are using a different one, which you may never notice it was any different. Indeed, if we do our job right, you should never think about the slides. But every now and then, there's a typo and a spelling mistake, or there's a formatting problem, and you notice it. But during this month, while we're testing this new software, if there are things that you notice, things that you appreciate, and we had one of those comments last week, so for whoever expressed some appreciation of last week's presentation, or if there are things that you notice that are a little glitchy, let us know, especially for those who are on the live stream, because that's a different experience than we have here in-house on a Sunday morning. And we will take your comments into account as we're making a final decision on presentation software. I know it's a pretty dull and boring announcement, but it is the housekeeping stuff that keeps us all going. As we enter God's presence this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible reminder to us that Christ is the light of the world, and that we who are his people seek to walk by the light of his love. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims God's handiwork.
Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge.
There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, and yet their voice goes out through all of the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Let us praise the name of the Lord. Let us come before God in prayer. Almighty God, ruler of all things seen and unseen, through your Son Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit, you show us your power and your mercy. You cast out evil, tear down walls of division, comfort and challenge your people, and show signs of your kingdom coming into the world. Grant that we may lift up the discouraged, strengthen the doubting, and join with all who seek to thank you for your goodness. Glory be to you, O God, who with the Holy Spirit and the Son together is worshipped and praised, one God now and forevermore. Amen. As we come in worship this morning, we begin by singing the hymn, Here on Jesus Christ I Stand. The words to the hymn will appear on the screen, but as this is a hymn that's not in the hymn book, it is also on the insert sheet in your bulletin. And just note there is a refrain in italics at the top of each system, as well as the four verses. So we will go back to that refrain each time we sing.
Thank you.
As we come in confession, we tell the truth about ourselves and our broken world, and the God of all truth, who knows our limitations and loves our imperfections, has already forgiven us. Trusting in God's infinite mercy, let us dare to tell the truth in prayer together as we come this day confessing our sin. The words of the prayer will appear on the screen. God of grace, you teach us that humanity was created in your divine image, and yet we confess that we build walls between ourselves and others. Forgive us, O God, and teach us to welcome all your children with a hospitality as wide as your mercy. Amen. Friends, this is the truth. You are not the labels others place upon you. You are more than the boxes that you check. You are not the side of the aisle on which you stand. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus our Lord. You belong to Christ and to Christ alone. Believe in the good news of the gospel. Through Jesus Christ, we have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. And once more, let us join in praise as we sing, I am the church, you are the church. We will sing verses 1 and 2 of the hymn this morning. I think you're the only ones this morning. How are you this morning, Will? And how are you this morning, Ainsley? Good, good. I've got a question for you. Do you have a family? Yeah? Tell me about your family. Always a dangerous question, isn't it? Tell me about your family. Will, tell me about you. Do you have a brother or a sister? He has two sisters. My stepsister. Oh, okay. And what's her name?
Isla.
Isla? I've met Isla. Yes, I have. I've met Isla. Right, Grandma? I've met Isla. That's right. And do you have a mom?
Yeah.
And you have a dad?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have a cat or a dog?
Cat.
A cat?
Yeah, two cats.
Two cats? Two cats? Wow, you're lucky. I don't have any cats in my house. No. I got a bird. He lives outside. And presently he fights with himself in the mirror of my car every day. That's a messy encounter. Yeah, so tell me about your family. What's it like to live in a family?
Hard.
What's it like to live in a family? What do you think? Do you have lunch and supper at your house?
Yeah.
Just and brunch sometimes too. I like brunch sometimes. I'm hoping I might have brunch today. Oh, and what do you get at Nanny's for brunch? You having pancakes? I'm hoping I'm going to get pancakes for brunch.
We're all going to get ice pancakes.
Because that's always a good brunch thing. But somebody makes food for you, don't you? Don't they? Mom and Dad, they make sure that we have stuff to eat. Do you have toys? Do you leave your toys on the floor? Sometimes? Will does. And do those toys magically disappear? Because Mom or Dad picked them up and put them away for you?
Yes.
Yeah. Pretty nice of them to do that, isn't it? You do your own cleaning. Well, that's really good.
And
do
you...
Do they? And do you help clean other places in the room, in the house? Do you clean the bathroom?
No.
Clean the... Oh, well, that's a good thing to help. But that's what families are like, isn't it? Living in a family, we help each other, and we care for each other. And that every time we do one of those little actions of helping with cleaning up or cleaning up our own stuff, of maybe making our bed if we're old enough to do that, all of those things are ways that we share in the responsibilities of being a family, right? And here in the church today, we're celebrating Christian Family Sunday.
What?
I know. Do you know what that means? That means that we come together, all of us who are here today, to come and be with each other, to care for each other, to help each other, and to work in the church to make sure that other people get to learn about Jesus. All those things are part of what we do here as part of a Christian family that God has called together to care for each other. So it's one of these days where we remember what happens in our own homes and our own families, and we remember those things that we do here in the church that kind of mirror those things. So as we celebrate Mother's Day, we also celebrate the whole Christian family that gathers together here in this church and the whole Christian family around the world. People who are like us. The amazing thing about being part of a church is you can go anywhere in the world and you will find a family of faith just like this one that will welcome you and give you a place that you can continue to learn about Jesus. And speaking of learning about Jesus, in a minute we're going to walk very carefully to our classes. Pardon me. See you later, guys. It's been good to see you this morning. Good luck. They're in for a morning this morning. Friends, let us have a word of prayer. Faithful God, how blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Sanctify us this day by your word and spirit, so that we may glorify you in the company of the faithful. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Morning. Our first reading is from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Our second reading is responsive, Psalm 19. Words will be on the screens. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard.
Yet their voice goes out from all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent to the sun,
which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy.
Its rising is on the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them.
The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple.
The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes.
The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward.
But who can detect errors? Clear me from hidden faults.
Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable.
And our third reading is from the New Testament, Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 to 29. Now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise.
Once more, let us join in praise as we sing the hymn, Come Now, O Prince of Peace. This hymn will appear on the screens, or it's contained on the reverse of the other hymn that was in the bulletin.
Peace, take us on body.
I wrestled all week long with what should be the appropriate gospel lesson for this morning. I started with John chapter 1, verses 1 to 13. And then I talked myself out of it, as you can see by the evidence in the bulletin. And then I decided, no, I'm going back to John chapter 1, verses 1 to 13. So that is the reading that we will listen to right now. Reading from John chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, that the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the power to become the children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The big purple church. The only person I suspect who should get it is Jamila. And maybe a few parents along the way. I love you, you love me, we're a happy family, with a great big hug and a kiss from me to you, won't you say you love me too? All right, if you had kids in your household in the 90s, I guess that would probably be about the right time, because that's when I had kids in my household, then you will remember that as the theme song from the TV show Barney and Barney's World. Perhaps it is a tune that you cannot forget, even though you might want to. Now, Barney, if you aren't familiar with him, was a big purple dinosaur. And through stories and play, Barney taught children that everyone is special and worthy of love. It's a dangerous message. A certain president of a certain country who will remain nameless wants to cancel the network that had Barney on because Barney is subversive. As we continue this sermon series on the nature of the church this morning, we examine the idea of radical hospitality, that which underpins and is the basis upon which we say that the church is a place that welcomes all people and that we come together as the family of God. What draws our attention in the scriptural witness time and again is that the church was an open organization. No one is outside of the fellowship of the church. But time and again in the teachings of Jesus and in the stories about the development of the early churches, arguments arose about who could be part of the newly formed Christian community. Time and again, there would be those who sought to build barriers up, limiting who could be part of the community of faith. And time and again, the response of the church was to fling wide the doors and to accept anyone who would come and call upon the name of the Lord as the source of their hope and their salvation. Short, tall, young, old, rich, poor, insider, outsider, none of it matters. Indeed, this radical inclusivity was the hallmark of hope of the Christian church, that all had a place. And perhaps there is no more radical text in all of Scripture than what we've heard this morning from Galatians chapter 3. Now, if you aren't familiar with the church in Galatia, and they are a small book, so Galatia was an area in what we would call today Turkey. And, well, let's just say that the church in Galatia was a challenging church for Paul to deal with. My favorite verse in Scripture, which I won't get this distracted by, is in the book of Galatians. This one's a close second. The other one's even better. But Galatians, you see, the Galatians, they really did struggle with what it means to be the church. They were a group of people who were rife with divisions. But out of Paul's writing comes this barrier-breaking text. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is then no longer Jew nor Greek. There is no longer slave nor free. There is no longer male nor female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Now, just standing on its own, that collection of words put together is a radical proclamation that both the powerful and the powerless, the favored and those who stand outside the covenant, everyone is part of the church of Jesus Christ. But this text directly challenges a common belief of its day. It's more than just a statement about different groups of people. You see, within the body of Jewish literature known as the Mishnah, Jewish men were obligated to daily recite these words: "Blessed is God, who has not made me a Gentile, who has not made me a boor, who has not made me a woman." And indeed, it is still in the Orthodox Jewish prayer book today. Now listen to that again. "Blessed be the God who has not made me a Gentile, who has not made me a boor, who has not made me a woman." And Paul says to the church, "Now there is no longer Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male or female." Paul, in this verse, shakes that society to its very core. So more than just arguing about any idea of being inclusive because it's the right thing to do, in these verses, there is the possibility that Paul is blowing apart everything. Indeed, there are some that wonder if these verses are not perhaps the first recorded baptismal liturgy that we have in the history of the church. That through the waters of baptism, Paul says it, we have put on Christ. And we, who breaks down all of those barriers of this world that separate us from one another and that separate us from God. You will remember through the gospel stories, it is Christ who time and again draws in the outsider, the woman at the well, the story of the good Samaritan, the son who runs away and squanders everything that his father has in a Gentile land. And Jesus says time and again that all of these people will find a place in the kingdom of God. And so for those of us who are the church, those who come to the baptismal font to be washed clean of our own sin, one of those sins of which we are washed clean is that of the sin of building up the walls that keep us separate one from another. But we have put on Jesus. And so have they. Imagine that power of this message to those who for so long have been excluded from full participation in society because of race or gender or economic status. Indeed, that has always been the appeal of the gospel. We do believe that the early Christian communities, the early Christian pre-churches that gathered on the outside of the cities, on riverbanks, mostly where the women went to wash the clothes. And it was there, outside of the city walls, outside of the watchful gaze of others, that the gospel was able to be propagated. The declaration of new life and new hope for all people, time and time again, down through the annals of history, is what has led to the place where we stand today, where the church continues to have its influence on society. About 125 years ago, in the early 1900s, the Presbyterian Church in Canada was represented in the country of Taiwan by a missionary by the name of George Leslie Mackay. George Leslie Mackay, the name may be familiar to some. Mackay was born in Zorro Township, just outside of Embro, if you know that area of southwestern Ontario. If you don't know Embro, you'll know Woodstock, New Brunswick. Woodstock, Ontario. That's the area. George Leslie Mackay went to be a missionary in Taiwan. And he became convinced that the only way he could truly touch the hearts of these people with the gospel was to become like them. And so George Leslie Mackay adopted their traditions and their customs. He wore the clothes that they wore. He married a Taiwanese woman and had children that were of Taiwanese extraction. After being in Taiwan for many years, he came back to Canada for a trip, only to discover that when he arrived back in Canada, there was a head tax on the Chinese to keep Chinese people out of Canada. And Mackay made it his mission to not just bring gospel to Taiwan, but perhaps to bring gospel to Canada too. Because his argument was simply this: how can I go to Taiwan and teach these people that all are equal in the sight of God and all have a place in the kingdom of God, and then my own family cannot be come with me into the country of Canada because of the head tax. Mackay became the moderator of the General Assembly several years later and spoke on that very issue across the country in that rarefied air that one has when one is the moderator of the national church. And as a result of his leadership, the Chinese head tax was removed from the laws of our land, and all indeed were free. We live in interesting times. When world travel has broadened the constituency of the church, has it not? Those to whom we sent missionaries to proclaim the gospel 100 or more years ago are now coming to us. And what a blessing that is. And as they come to us, they have brought their faith with them and their need for a place in our communities. For us who are the church, the question becomes, how do we receive them? Now, this morning we sang two hymns from two different parts of the world. Now, we've sung them before here. They weren't completely new. One was a hymn from Kenya. And you may have noticed there were Swahili words at the top of the page. And one was from Korea. Each of them speak to different constituencies that are part of our own congregation. Small, but still here. Back when we sang that hymn, "Come Now, O Prince of Peace," it was about 2 years ago, and I know this because we were having a communicants class, and since I do communicants class every 2 years, it doesn't take too much to figure that out. So about 2 years ago, as we were doing the last communicants class, we sang that, and Kyung Mai or Alice Choi, who's with us each week, made the comment after we had sung that hymn that was a hymn that her mother sang every morning. Canadian Presbyterian missionaries were central to the establishment of the Christian church and the Christian faith in Korea, and those missionaries are celebrated by the Korean congregations of our denomination. And now we get to enjoy the fruit of that labor as these new hymns, new to us, come back to us from what used to be a mission field and come and share their expressions of faith. And it is a gift to the church that they share those expressions of faith. It is our gift to them to include in our worship songs and praises that are familiar to them as well, that we can share in worship together, and worship can always feel comfortable in some way for all. They are also means by which we connect to our brothers and sisters in faith around the world, and they can be our point of contact to them. Several years ago, at an event, a colleague of mine was speaking, and speaking in particular about the use of world music in worship, and he made the point of the importance of the music of the communities from the communities of faith around the world, noting that from time to time, usually at times of despair, when natural disasters or some sort of calamity has occurred around the world, we hear about once more these countries and these Christians who are there, and we are asked to be a support to them. And one of the ways that we can do that and be mindful of who those for whom we pray is to also sing their hymns, know their praise, and join in solidarity with them. We may be separated geographically, but we have all put on Jesus Christ. And in that, we are all one. So as we come today, we remember that radical hospitality that defines the Church of Jesus Christ. It is that radical hospitality that welcomes each one of us, regardless of who we are and where we have been in life, that Jesus calls us all to gather in this place and to be together. And increasingly, Jesus calls more people and different people. And as we weave them into the tapestry, we become richer in so many ways. And we give thanks to God for their gifts to us who are the church. Amen. The affirmation of faith this morning is taken from the Confession of 1967, which was a document written by the Presbyterian Church United in the United States of America, our sister denomination, and we read today from that. In each time and place, there are particular problems and crises through which God calls the church to act. God has created the peoples of the earth to be one universal family.
In love, God overcomes the barriers between sisters and brothers and breaks down every form of discrimination based on racial or ethnic difference, real or imaginary.
The church is called to bring all people to receive and uphold one another as persons in all relationships of life. Amen. God gives us more than enough for our journey of faith. Let us then present our tithes and offerings so that others may know their blessings and give thanks to God. Let us pray. Triune God, through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, you bring hope to the despairing, healing to the sick, and release from bondage to all who are oppressed by sin and evil. through baptism into Christ. You covered us with your love. We thank you that in that flood you wash away all that separates us from you and from one another. We thank you that in this new life we are set free to proclaim good news to others. Take these gifts and direct them to fulfill your purpose as we await the time when all creation is one in your love. By the grace of Jesus Christ and within the community of the Holy Spirit, we pray all these things. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God of earth and sky, in your presence mountains quake, flames tremble, and the winds roar, hallelujah. We pray for the coming of your kingdom. Let the earth be made whole and new. Let the sky be made clean and refreshed. May all who dwell in heaven and throughout the world be joined in giving you praise for all the good things you have done. We pray for the nations and the people of this world. Let us receive your reign with gladness. Grant world leaders wisdom and humility that they may guide your flocks in the ways that make for peace. Give us ears to attend to the voices of poets and prophets through whom your spirit speaks still. We pray for the most vulnerable in our society, for creatures threatened with extinction, for those of the human family who are poor, homeless, or refugees, for victims of political or domestic violence, and for those who are ill in body, mind, or spirit. Grant us compassionate hearts, inspired minds, and wills resolved to care for our neighbors with the love of Jesus. When you bring your promised kingdom, O God, all your creatures will shout glory. All your people will sigh love. And all creation together will sing Alleluia. Until that day, keep us fervent in prayer, praying in the manner that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We close our service of praise with praise this morning as we sing hymn 491, God Bless Your Church with Strength, hymn 491. Just give me a second here. 491. Street.
soul through open skies to sing the praise of Christ who we adore. God bless your child with life. May all our branches thrive. Unblemished, wholesome, bearing fruit abundantly.
Now let us go forth into the world, seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, this day and forevermore. Amen. Mothers are reminded to stop and get a flower. Mothers are reminded to stop and get a flower on your way out this morning.